great. We've really got it all worked out now. And then it's kind of funny because he said, because, you know, literally anything that could have gone wrong after he said that has gone wrong. So that's kind of funny. Anyway, what I was saying is that I do really love doing live streams because I think that it allows me to actually teach more and offer you more. And it allows you to learn more because the learning is collaborative. We get to do this together. And when we pre-film a class, that isn't something that happens.
Let's say hello.
Okay, let's connect. That is the other thing that's really great about this. So who's here?
Sergio from Colombia.
Hello, Sergio from Colombia.
Leah Ross.
Leah is here. Hello.
Stephanie in Omaha.
Hello, Stephanie in Omaha.
Stella, hola.
Hello, Stella.
Linda.
Hello, Linda. Okay, thank you all so much for joining us. It's really great to have you with us. As I said, this is one of the best parts of a live class is that it does allow for collaborative learning, and it also allows me to teach more, which is something that I'm going to do while people are joining us to give us a chance to join in while YouTube, you know, gathers the algorithm and realizes that we're live and pushes it out to more people in their YouTube stream. It just gives us a chance to connect. If you have any questions, now is a great time to put them in because I can answer them for you before we start. Any questions about yin yoga, any questions about upper back pain, anything that you've been wondering about the direction of the channel over the next year, because you know, we have sort of a niche down over the last few months, and that's been going really well for us as a channel. I do have some things prepared for you. So I've had some really good questions that have come up over the last just a couple of weeks. We get a lot of comments, and we love hearing from you. We love your questions. We love how deeply you are engaged with these yin yoga practices. And so there have been some really good questions, and I want to take the time to address them now. And this is part of the more learning that we get to do in a live class when we interact in this way. And that might also spur you to think, oh yeah, that reminds me, I have this question, and now's a really good time to ask because we can interact live right now. So Patricia, she commented in one of the yin classes that she's concerned that she's not feeling the rebounds. So when we do a yin posture, we stay in the posture, we're affecting a certain meridian, and then when we come out of the posture, we lie down on our backs usually, and then we pause for about a minute and we feel the rebound, we feel the reverberation, we feel the energy moving through our bodies. So I have a couple of things to say about that. One is that sometimes the energy might not be moving through our bodies. So that is important feedback too. Sometimes when I do a yin yoga posture, I'll lie down and I'll just absolutely feel the energy moving through the energy channel that we've just worked on. And I can absolutely feel the reverberation or the rebound or the energy moving through that channel. And then other times I'll lie down on my back and I won't feel anything. And that is amazing feedback too, because to me it says that there's a blockage in that energy channel, that there isn't energy moving through that channel. And that is really good feedback too. So not feeling something is feeling something. The other thing is that when we're doing yin yoga, we're tuning into the more and more subtle layers of our body. So when you're practicing hatha yoga or vinyasa flow or other forms of yoga that are working on the more up on the superficial layers of the muscle, you're working at at the more superficial layers. And so when we're practicing yin yoga, we're going in deeper to the more subtle layers, and it's a much more fine-tuned practice. And so it may take longer to be able to tune into the more subtle layers of the energy body, right? When we're practicing with the physical body, when you're practicing at the layers of the muscles, it's easier to feel what's happening. And as we are coming into the more and more subtle layers, it takes time to fine tune that kind of feeling. So don't worry if you're not feeling something. Over time, the more you practice, the more your practice deepens, the more you're going to feel the subtle layers of the energy body. It may be that it's just kind of gunked up right now and you're not you're not there yet. Your practice isn't that refined yet to be able to feel those subtle, more subtle layers of the energy body. So I thought that was a really good question. And it's just, yin yoga is a more advanced practice. And the thing is, it often gets, because it's slow, sometimes slow doesn't mean easy. You know, it's a more refined practice. It's a more advanced practice. And it takes time to tune into the more subtle layers of the energy body. So that was a really good question, and I really appreciated it. Are there more people joining that we want to connect with now and say hello to?
Yes. Can
you
say hello to Celeste is here?
Hello, Celeste.
Baby Dragon.
Hello, Baby Dragon. I love that name. When I was doing my PhD and I was on a forum, my name used to be Dragon Slayer. And of course, you know, when you do the yin poses, the lunge poses are called the dragon. They're the dragon poses, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Ontario, Mrs. U says Leah.
Ontario, Mrs. V. Oh, Leah, that's really nice. Ask Leah when the last time she went to Kelly's Bake Shop.
I miss Kelly's Bake Shop.
Yeah, I miss Kelly. Full stop, Kelly.
Hello from Ariane.
Hi, Ariane.
And Rennie came over. Yay, she found
us. Hi, Rennie. I'm glad you found us. Thanks to everybody who made the shift over to this live stream, because we were able to actually go live here, not just have a chat room open.
I'm not sure what that was all
about. Yeah, weird. Yep. And it's really great to have you all here so we can be involved and learn more together and have this really great collaborative learning space where we can teach and learn together and you guys can be part of it all together. That's why I love the live classes. So Tim, let me know if that there are questions and comments coming up so that I can address those at the beginning, because as I said in the live class, there's actually way more teaching that happens. That's why I love doing the live classes. So the next question that I had that I thought was really good, that as I say, you guys are so great, you leave so many comments and so many questions, and we love hearing from you, was from Jakra, and this was when emotions come to the surface. And I'm going to read her comment, and it was in the class where we did all the lunges, so it was the class for hip pain. And she said she had anger bubbling to the surface during the second dragon pose. That's funny, because we just talked about the dragon poses from Baby Dragon. Luckily, the third dragon pose calmed me down to find peace. Any feedback on this, though? She says, thanks for your work and regards from Europe. So this is also something that speaks to getting deeper and deeper into the practice with yin yoga. So when we practice yin yoga, we're going deeper. We're not staying on the superficial layer of the muscles. We're going deeper and deeper into the connective tissues, the ligaments, the bones. We're getting right down into your body where there are emotions that have been deeply held and repressed in your body. And so what happens is that emotions in our life, there are things that happen that we turn away from. If it's too much for us to handle at the time, what we do is we hold them in our body. We turn away from them. We can't handle them. They get held in our body, which is a very good coping technique. And it's not that we shouldn't do it. It's a very good coping technique. So when we practice these deeper practices, these more advanced practices like yin yoga, and we do poses like dragon pose, especially where we get into the hips, the emotional center, like the hips and dragon pose, and we're holding the poses for long periods of time, like 2 minutes in dragon pose, emotions that have been held in the body can be released. And it's not like we need to analyze it and figure it all out. It's just that, great, they can be released. We're getting into the deeper layers of the fascia, the connective tissues, the ligaments, the bones, and emotions that have been deeply held in the body are going to be released. It's not a thing that we need to be scared about. It's nothing that we need to worry about. It's nothing that we need to psychoanalyze. We can allow them to be released. So anger, sadness, tears, even laughter. It's like, have you ever been in a yoga class and gotten the giggles unexpectedly? Like, that happens to me even when we're filming. I can start laughing about something really seemingly inappropriate, and that makes sense, right? That's an emotional release too. I'm putting in my body in these positions and holding them, or, you know, Tim and I can be filming and then we can get in these terrible fights, you know, that happens too. And it's, we're putting our body in these positions and we're holding them for a long time, and it's these emotions that have been held in our body that are coming out, and that's a good thing, you know, I like to say. You guys can put it in the comments right now. Better out than in, right? Better out than in. So that. We can just let them out. Okay. Sorry, we're having. We're just, you know, having lots of technical. It's because Tim said how great this was going to be today and how easy it is and how we're really getting the hang of it. Why are we getting an echo, do you think? Hello, Shana from Jamaica. Okay. All right. And let me know if there are any comments or questions coming up that need to be addressed before we go into the class. I have one more additional. So today, actually, you're getting really three additional videos. Like, these are videos that I would do on my secondary channel that, you know, that you would get released sort of one every week, and you're getting them prior to the class. So you're getting really plus three videos in today's video. So incredible value today. So the final question is about shoulder stiffness, which I know a lot of us suffer, including me, suffer from in our culture, shoulder stiffness. Let me know in the comments if you have tight shoulders, because I know a lot of you do. So this is from Rachel, and she said, I made it to the end, Melissa, but I found this video hard, and I'm pretty sure it was probably the Yin Yoga for Shoulder Pain class. She says, I have pretty rounded shoulders. She said, probably growing up tall as a teenager. So I find lifting my arms above my head when lying down without propping it up difficult. I was getting pins and needles tonight in banana asana and generally felt like I couldn't get into the pose. Do I need to keep doing these poses to sort out my terrible shoulders? Any tips about how to make them more bearable? And so, yes, I do have tips on this. So first of all, I want to read you a quote from Norman Blair from Brightening Our Inner Skies that comments on the pins and needles, because this is important. And it has to do with choosing an appropriate edge, because having pins and needles is not an appropriate edge in a yin yoga class. Okay, if the sensation is burning or sharply stabbing or electrical, especially in an intense and small area, then this can indicate overstretching or potentially damaging the tissue. So then you need to back off. If the sensation is more dull, so this is what you are looking for, dull, aching or throbbing, then it usually indicates that the tissue is being tugged in a way that is healthy. Okay, so if you're feeling kind of that dull, aching, throbbing sensation, then it's healthy tugging on the tissue. That is what we want when we come into a pose. Now, if tingling sensation happens, that could be a sign of damaging a nerve. So tingling, pins and needles, we absolutely don't want that. You need to back off. You're at an inappropriate edge. It's nerve damage or blockage of blood flow. So you need to back off. Pins and needles can be a consequence of too much pressure in a particular part of your body, and you need to shift the shape. Okay, so pins and needles are a sign of too much pressure in a particular part of your body, and you need to shift the shape. So if in banana asana, you are getting pins and needles, then you do need to shift the shape. So that particular shape, banana asana, let's take a look at it. Is that okay, Tim? Can we do that right now?
Yeah, can you speak to Let's see here. Sergio, he has pain in his right shoulder blade. Is there a good pose or exercise for that?
Yeah.
And Celeste says that the Cairo says that the yin yoga is making his work easier.
Oh, wonderful. So Celeste says that, so can you remind me about the question, because I'll finish this first and then we'll come back to this, okay? So for the banana asana, Celeste says the Cairo is making her work easier. I'm getting a bolster to show what I need to do. Okay, so for the banana asana with the pins and needles when she's taking the arms overhead, it's too much pressure, right? So what we need to do is to reduce the pressure. So what I would say is you could take the bolster overhead and put your arms up on a bolster, okay, so that it's less, and then there's going to be less pressure on that part of your body. Okay? And you can just keep stacking bolsters and blankets until it's enough pressure that it's bearable. Okay? Let me know in the comments if that makes sense.
You've got almost a 45 second delay here.
Okay.
So, do you want the question?
Okay, yes. The other question was
from Sergio.
From Sergio. So Sergio has pain in his right shoulder blade, and he wants to know if there's a good exercise for that. And yes, we're going to be doing it today in the upper back class. And it's the yin posture is eagle's arms. And so there's lots of modifications for it as well. You can put your right arm up, and then you're going to hook your left arm underneath it, wrap it around, and bring your palms together. More is you take your elbows away and up, less is down and in. If it's too much, just the backs of the hands together, or elbows and palms together, or even just hugging yourself here. Okay, and we'll go through all of that today within the context of the class. Because this is really common, this pain in between the shoulder blades, one side or the other, probably from mouse work. If you ask Roger ask Sergio if he does a lot of mouse work at his job, probably. Yeah, or maybe he drives and that's stick shift stuff or something like that. Probably work related. Okay, any other questions coming up?
Elka just says she's addicted to Ashtanga, but at the end of the week she likes to do her yin.
Yeah, so it's really great if you use makes it sound like it's like a substance abuse, right? But if you are an Ashtanga practitioner, it's a great, fabulous form of exercise. And then it's really good to balance it out with some yin practices. It tends to be that we live in a culture that is very very yang focused, and then Ashtanga, that style of practice, is also very yang. So the reason why we're focusing here on this channel on very yin style practices is that as a culture as a whole, we really do need to balance out our lives. And if you think about our culture as an ecosystem, and we're all living as part of this ecosystem, you know, our culture is generally anxious, overstimulated, insomniacs, and they all go together, then we need to create some balance in that culture. And so I feel that to do that, we need to be really down-regulating. And I think the best way to do that is through yin yoga, restorative yoga, and we are going to be adding yoga nidra, the sleep yoga, in this channel very shortly in the next few weeks.
Sergio said, you're right, he does work at the computer a lot and water polo.
Sergio does computer work and water polo, yeah. Oh, so the water polo is that, yeah. So yeah, you can just do that Do that. And I really do find the long holds make a huge difference. So with the eagle's arms, you can hold that pose for 2 minutes and really breathe into that right shoulder blade. Focus on breathing into that right shoulder blade. And thanks so much for asking that question, Sergio, because I know that it's not just you that's having pain in your right shoulder blade. It's lots of people here, because I know that I spend a lot of time on my computer. It seems like, you know, I'm a yoga teacher. Why would I spend a lot of time on my computer? But I spend a lot of time writing show notes, and it takes an inordinate amount of time on my computer to be able to produce content for the internet. So I completely understand, and I don't think you're alone in that at all. It's very, very common. Yeah. Oh, nice idea. Yeah. Yeah. And spend the time, the two minute time. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for being with us for the live class, for allowing us to have the extra teaching. If you're enjoying this collaborative learning where I give you the extra teaching before the class, where I answer your questions, let us know by giving us the thumbs up. Let us know by leaving the comments. Let us know. Okay. Stella's had frozen shoulder, and I can relate. I have had frozen shoulder too. I've about 2 years out of frozen shoulder now, but it was about 2 years in frozen shoulder. And you can do yin yoga with frozen shoulder. It's very helpful. Frozen shoulder, it absolutely just takes time to heal it. And prop. Just let it do what it does, and it will eventually come around. I see I still have problems with external rotation on the left shoulder. So frozen shoulder is yin deficiency. It happens more to women. It's dryness in your body, and the more you nurture and nourish your body, get the rest that you need, it really will make a big difference. And I'm going to be talking about yin deficiency a lot more here and in my teachings. So stay tuned for that.
Last couple. Michelle says she's so glad you started teaching yin, and she needs it so much for her body, and she loves your teaching.
Oh, thank you. Michelle says she's so happy that I started teaching yin. She needs it for her body, and she loves the teaching. So thank you so much, Michelle. I feel really glad that I started teaching yin too. It's something that I've wanted to teach for years, and I've kept saying, no, I won't teach it. It's very expensive to get training, as those of you who know who have gone to get teacher training, and it's like, how much training do I need? But it's been a really good fit, and it's something that the world really needs right now, I think.
Rani says it's 6:40 where she is in Hungary, of course, and it's perfect time to do yoga.
Yes, Randy says it's six. Randy says it's six. Yeah, Randy says it's 6:40 in Hungary where she lives, and that is a perfect time of the day to do yin yoga. Also, perfect time of the week. It's a good time to wind down. So there's two thoughts about what the best time of day to do yin yoga is. I mean, I think kind of any time of day is a good time of day to do yin yoga to bring balance to our overly hectic lives. It's very good to do yin yoga in the morning when your tissues are cold, actually, but also in the evenings when it's getting dark and the world is slowing down. There's that symbiotic relationship with the world that helps to support the yin practices. And also, as Zreni says, when the week is winding down, it's also a good time to practice the yin yoga. So I would absolutely agree with that the evening can be a very supportive time when you're turning inwards and supporting yourself in settling down and calming down, because also that will support you in transitioning into sleep, which can be very
Just start teaching.
So I have some great classes coming up for you, including...
There's no sound apparently. It should be sound. Oh, yeah, just start.
Okay, I have some great classes coming up for you in the coming weeks, including yin yoga for lower back pain, yin yoga for shoulders. I thought we already did that. We might have to change that one. And then yin yoga for digestion. Our next live class will be February 23rd, and I put out a poll for that already on my YouTube community tab. So you can check that out. I checked this morning, and the 80% of you voted for yin yoga for legs over yin yoga for runners. So you could, if you want yin yoga for runners, you better get in there and vote for that. If those classes are of interest to you, then be sure to subscribe and press that little bell. And then what happens is that those classes will show up in your subscription feed, and you'll make sure that you get them every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific. If you like today's class, thank you so much for pressing that like button, and also for leaving your comments, letting us know what you like about them, how the class helped you in the comments. I have a testimonial for you from YouTube today from Sylvia. She says, "Hello, Melissa. Love yoga, but after doing your yin series, this has absolutely become my favorite. Thank you so much." And thank you, Sylvia, for leaving your comments. I always love hearing from all of you on YouTube, on my website. I just spent a long time listening to many of your SpeakPipe messages on Instagram, getting so many more messages on Instagram these days, Facebook, and always our most in-depth conversations happen in our membership community, especially on our two-way live classes every Mondays at 9 a.m. 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific, and also we have a live class this Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific. We have a two-hour live yin workshop, so we spend a lot of time together with two-way live video in our membership community. Thanks to Squeeze Yoga Clothing for my clothes. Today I'm wearing gray leggings in this black Brock hammy. And thanks today for Dusky Leaf for my props. I'm going to be using a bolster. I like to have an extra blanket down. It's always a good idea to have a wall available and the blocks and the straps. Let's begin by lying down on our backs with the bolster underneath your knees. So just give yourself a chance to settle in, feel the support of the earth underneath you. Breathe all the way into your upper back. So feel your shoulder blades on the ground. And just notice their connection with the earth. Feel your rib cage on the ground. And each time you breathe out, allow tension to release from your upper back. So upper back pain is probably more accurately described as upper back and middle back pain. It can occur anywhere from the base of your neck to the bottom of your rib cage. This part of your back includes your rib cage, which attaches to the 12 vertebrae of your spine. It makes up the longest part of your back and the discs that separate each vertebra that absorb shock as you move. It also includes the muscles and ligaments that hold the spine together. Right on the desk. Okay, so from here, you're going to bend your knees, roll to your side. We're going to actually come over and do wide knee child's pose with a twist. So if that bothers your knees and your ankles, if it's too much pressure for your knees and your ankles, instead, you're going to take a recline twist. So let me show you the variation here on your backs instead. You're going to bend your knees, press into your feet, lift your hips, take your hips over to one side and drop your knees to the other side. So that's going to be your variation if wide knee child's pose with a twist does not work for your knees and your ankles. Otherwise, you're going to bend your knees, roll to your side, roll over. Take your knees wide. And I'm just getting the timer set up here for us. And you're going to walk your left arm all the way over to the side, rotate to the side, and lower your head to the ground. So remember with yin yoga that we are coming into the pose, we're finding an appropriate edge, we're resolving to be still, and we're staying for a while. So finding an appropriate edge means that we are choosing a position. It doesn't matter what the pose looks like, this is not an aesthetic practice. We don't want anything that's sharp or shooting or nervy or electric, no pins or needles. Something dull or achy is okay. If you're feeling it, you're doing it. And with yin, it's good to choose something around 70% effort. We want all the qualities of yin. So we want to yield and surrender. We want to let go and let gravity do all the work. Gravity and time do all the work in yin. You're going to very slowly, knowing that you've been here a long time, release this pose from your body. And we'll come onto your back to feel the rebound. So you may feel energy moving through your hips, through your left shoulder. And then moving slowly again, you'll bend your knees, roll to your side, and we'll come and practice that wide knee child's pose or the reclined twist on the other side, choosing what's most appropriate for your body. So you take your knees wide, your toes come together, you walk your right shoulder over towards your right knee, lower your right shoulder to the ground, the right side of your head to the ground. The bones in your upper back are far less mobile than the ones in your lower back. And it makes a lot of sense. It's because they're connected to your rib cage. And there's a good reason for that too. They keep your upper back stable. It's designed to protect very important organs, your heart and your lungs. But this does not mean that you do not experience pain in your upper back. Pain can be caused by overuse and strain to the muscles and ligaments that support your upper back. Poor posture from our long hours on screens, osteoarthritis that causes the breakdown of cartilage that cushions the small facet joints of the spine in this part of our bodies too. Okay, so very slowly, you're going to, with great care, let this pose out of your body and make your way onto your back to feel the rebound of this pose. Okay, and then we're going to come back in for two more variations of child's pose. Again, if the bent knee child's pose doesn't work for your knees and your ankles, you can take banana asana again. We're going to be doing side bend, so you could do banana asana. That would be your variation, because we want to get into the side body for this one. Otherwise, you can come over and do child's pose. Again, so wide knee child's pose again, and this time you are going to extend your arms out and walk them over to the left side. You want to feel that tugging along the left side of your left shoulder, so find that appropriate edge and then resolve to be still. Find that stillness. Very slowly make your way out of this pose and make your way onto your back. And feel the rebound. And then you can bend your knees and roll to your right side. And we'll do that side bending. Either if you're going to do Bananasana, you're going to side bend to the other side. If you're taking that position, if the child's pose doesn't work for your knees and your ankles. Otherwise, you come back to the toes together, knees wide, child's pose. And we'll do that side bend to the other side of the child's pose, walking your arms over to the left side until you feel that tug into your side body, particularly into your right shoulder. So while most forms of yoga focus on the superficial muscles, Yin yoga focuses on the deeper layers of the connective tissues, ligaments, joints, and bones. Yin yoga is particularly effective for upper back pain because myofascial pain affects the connective tissue of upper back pain. This is quite often the common cause of upper back pain. Chronic myofascial pain is ongoing or longer lasting pain that can affect the connective tissue or fascia of a muscle group or group of muscles. And I think a lot of us can relate to that when it comes to upper back pain. Just check in and see if you can be softer in this pose. Soft jaws, soft throat, soft palms. Okay, very slowly go ahead and release this pose from your body. Let's take our backs and feel the reverberation. And then we're going to bend our knees, roll to our sides again, and we're going to come up to a seated position. You can have two options for your legs here. The first option is shoelace pose with your right leg over your left leg. If that doesn't work for you in your body, I'm not particularly attached to this variation of your legs. You can always have a loose shoelace with your legs crossed. It may be helpful for you to sit up on a cushion or a meditation cushion, whatever works best for you in your body. You can also sit with your legs wide, okay? Doesn't, or long. Doesn't really matter, whatever feels best. It might feel good to sit with your legs long here after having them so bent after the last couple of poses. So we're going to do eagle's arms here. You're going to bring your...
Sergio.
Yeah, this is for Sergio. Actually, Sergio must be loving this class. You can... I don't usually take comments in the class, but let me know so far, Sergio, how your right shoulder is feeling. That first one with the child's pose twist, excellent one for you as well. You're going to take your right arm up and hook your left arm underneath it. Bring your palms together. That's one expression of the pose, okay? If that doesn't work for you, you're going to bring the backs of your hands together or elbows and palms together or hug yourself. Lots of variations for this pose, okay? Do what works for best for you in your body. The shoulders are very stiff, so not every variation is going to work in your body. And yin yoga is not an aesthetic practice. We do what works for us in our body. We're not trying to get the Instagram photo here, okay? Okay, release your arms and press the walls away. lower down, switch sides with your legs if you've got the shoelace legs and arms. We're going to switch sides. You're going to lift your left arm up, hook your right arm underneath, bring your palms together maybe, backs of hands, elbows and palms together, or give yourself a hug. Release your arms, push the walls away from you. Lie down on your back and feel the rebound. Okay, bend your knees, roll to your side, come up onto all fours. We're going to do melting heart pose. So your legs are going to be perpendicular to the ground. You're going to reach your arms forward, lift up, lower your head to the ground, soften your heart to the ground. If this is too much for your body, because it's a lot of pressure through your neck, through your shoulders, you can always lie on your back instead. You can always lie on your back with a bolster underneath your chest. Get into the myofascial layers of the body, deep into the myofascial layers of the body. We hold the poses for longer to affect the deep connective tissues that wrap around the joints and the bones. These connective tissues require slow and gentle traction in a passive way over a long period of time. Connective tissue is more plastic in nature compared to muscle, which is more elastic. And this dense and less pliant connective tissue needs time and the effect of gravity to release. Just like braces, these deep layers of our connective tissues respond to the slow and gentle traction that we apply with yin yoga. Okay, very, very slowly, you're going to make your way out of this pose and lie on your back. Okay, and then we're going to do a pose, a yin yoga pose called bow tie pose. This is our last yin yoga pose before shavasana, just to reassure Tim. Okay, this pose, I find I need quite a bit of propping in, so I'm going to show you the pose and then some propping options. So you might need a block or a bolster. Without the props, we're going to start with the right arm in front of the left arm. It looks like this. right arm crossed in front of the left arm. You could prop with a block on your head. Remember, we're going to be here for 5 minutes, so that's a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of pressure to be putting through the bones and the joints. Personally, I like to place a bolster underneath my chest in this pose. And then you could even prop your head. Go ahead and slowly release this posture from your body. We will take Shavasana on your back to feel the rebound before we do the other side. And then let's bend our knees, roll to your side, and do bow tie on the other side. This side could be different too, so there's always that. This time your left arm's going to be in front of your right arm. So often what helps with upper back pain is massage. And when we practice yin yoga, we are doing something similar to massage in that we are pressurizing and manipulating the myofascial tissue. This slow, gentle traction over time helps to prevent contracture or the loss of mobility through a joint. Ligaments often begin to shorten and can immobilize and shrink wrap around the joints. And by taking the yin yoga shapes, we are pressurizing and manipulating the myofascial tissue and easing this immobilization. Additionally, all the time we spend breathing with non-abandoning attention and compassion in our yin yoga postures allows us to reduce the stress and anxiety that may be causing the upper back pain in the first place. Okay, go ahead and release this pose from your body. And we're going to take our final Shavasana now.